With the vast majority of the work done in the portal, is Auburn in a better place roster-wise heading into 2025?
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it. Happy Tuesday. We're going to talk more portal. Go figure. Talk about portal, talk about the roster and how the roster is shaping up for 2025. Still a little bit of work to be done, but the vast majority of the work has already been finished. So is Auburn getting closer? Is Auburn closing the gap? How does Auburn look as far as their roster goes last year to this year, position by position? We'll take a deep dive into that. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use two coupon codes for a little bit longer. You got TNR Casino. I think today may be the last day. TNR Casino for the 300% deposit bonus in the casino. And then you have Next Round, which gives you a 50% deposit everywhere. So check them out. Go win big in the casino with all that free play, then hit the sports book after that. Tons of fun, easy deposits, easy withdrawals. It's mybookie.ag. Don't have a lot of slots left. Don't have a lot of spots left to add to the 2025 roster. It's pretty much complete. I say for now. Obviously, you could lose some guys in the spring and then you'll have to replace those. But by and large, the core of your roster is pretty much done. I do still think you need a couple more spots, and we'll get to those when we get to those positions. But we're going to go position by position and just talk about the work Auburn did, and then is it Auburn in a better spot, a worse spot, or is it about the same? So start with quarterbacks. Obviously, Auburn loses four. You lose Peyton Thorne, you lose Holden Gariner, you lose Hank Brown, and you lose Walker White. I think Walker was obviously the one that's got the most conversation around it. Peyton graduated, so he couldn't come back anyway. Holden was sort of expected. Hank was a little bit of a shock, but it also expected based off of Jackson Arnold having multiple years left. And I guess basically him and Hank are almost the same class. So there wasn't a really – if you want to play, there wasn't a super clear pathway to playing time for Hank, so it makes total sense. You bring in Jackson Arnold, who, again, we've talked about this many, many times. It's a you're taking a little bit of a gamble. You got a guy with amazing upside, but it's a little bit unrealized. Now, some of that's unrealized because of situation. Some of that's unrealized because of the pieces around him, and I think he was in a very, very tough situation at Oklahoma last year. And I think he's going to be in a much better situation this year. I think he's going to have a much better offensive line and a lot more weapons to utilize. And honestly, I think the system fits him a little bit better. So you got that. You bring in Ashton Daniels, who's got a ton of starting experience. I don't think expects him to come in and be the guy that you lean on, that you have to have be your number one guy. But how great is it to have a backup who's got 2 years of starting experience at a Power 5 level and has won some big games, thrown for a lot of yards, scored a lot of touchdowns, got a lot of experience? I think, obviously, that's fantastic. And then you bring in Deuce Knight, who's your five-star phenom, who I think is already ahead of schedule. I think you look at his performance in the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game. I'm anxious to see how his performance looks in just the regular All-Star games coming up here shortly. I think he's ahead of where you want him, where you expected him to be, and he's going to have a fast track this spring to get playing time, to get reps, which hopefully speeds up his development. I think he got a really good quarterback room. I think Auburn, it's a little bit unrealized, but I think he got more potential. I think he got more upside in this quarterback room than you did a year ago. And then obviously, had you not added anybody and you just went the three from the previous versus the three now, I think you're obviously got more upside. So again, it's unrealized. So I don't even know if you can really give an edge here, but I think the potential is there. The potential, you got to give the edge to this year's group. Wide receiver, it comes down to me, the trio of last year versus the trio of this year. Can Cam Coleman, Malcolm Simmons Jr., and Eric Singleton Jr. I don't even know why I said Malcolm Simmons Jr. I think it's just Malcolm. I'm thinking of another. I was just watching the replay of that punter from Bowling Green that threw that laser beam. I was watching on Twitter just a minute ago. This was a couple of weeks back, that laser beam touchdown, and that was Malcolm Johnson, or I think it was Malcolm Johnson Jr., the guy that played at Auburn for a while. So I'm getting those names mixed up. But you got Cam, Eric Singleton, and then you got Malcolm of this year versus Cam, Malcolm, and KLS from last year. That's going to be tough for – it's going to be tough for anybody to replicate what KLS did. But the cool thing is I don't think you're going to have Eric Singleton do that. I think your guy's going to be Cam. You're going to have one more year of development of Cam, one more year of development of Malcolm, and you got to think they're going to be a little bit better than they were last year just from maybe just grasping the playbook. You saw Malcolm had, you know, a couple of times where he maybe missed an assignment that ended up in a, you know, maybe a missed opportunity for a big play. Another year of him understanding everything that goes along with the playbook. You think just by being here, they're going to be better players. So, but then again, you got KLS who had one of the top receiving years in Auburn history. So can you replicate that? I like the potential of this group. I think it's as good or maybe a little bit better than last year. But if it's just as good, that's a pretty solid wide receiver room. Maybe it's more spread out. Maybe it's not so lopsided on KLS as far as production goes. But I'll take a wash. I think they were good last year. I think that group was good last year. And now, and if this group right here can replicate what you did last year, I think you're in a really good spot. Clean up some drops. Make some more clutch plays when they got to be made. I think you're ready to go. Tight end is a tough one because I feel like Rivaldo obviously is the biggest receiving threat, and you don't have anybody near that level that could be a receiving threat. Blocking, some of those guys struggled, but you did have Luke Deal who blocked really, really well when he was in there. But Rivaldo was always one that was sort of like a liability when it came to run blocking and things like that. So you bring back Brandon Frazier. So that'll help you there in the run game. You bring in your new tight end, I believe is Preston Howard from Maryland. But then all you have is Rico Walker and then two true freshmen. I think you may take a step back here at tight end. I think they might actually have to get creative in the passing game. Does Horatio Fields line up more as a big slot? Does Perry Thompson line up more as a big slot? Now, somebody could explode and kind of come out of nowhere, but I think even though Rivaldo struggled in the run blocking, in the blocking game, he was a much bigger threat at receiver than anything we have on the roster right now. So I would say you probably take a little bit of a step back there. I think they may be looking to add maybe one more guy. So who knows what you get there? Maybe you get a superstar. Who knows? But I would say as of right now, I would say you're probably slightly behind last year as far as tight end goes. Running back, look, there's no way. There's no team in the country that loses Jarquez and then gets better the next year. It's just impossible. Okay. There's no way for Auburn to be better at running back than they were last year, because I think Jarquez was one of the top backs in the whole country. And what are the odds you're going to be able to replicate that, I think they're very slim, because Jarquez, if I'm being completely honest, he created a lot of it on his own. Yards after contact, vision, just unwillingness to go down. He created a lot of that, a lot of those statistics. He created a lot of those big runs, you know, just out of sheer will and determination. Dude just played hard. And it's hard for anybody, I feel like, if you had Jarquez, it's hard for anybody in the country to come in the next year and be able to replicate that. Now, the good thing is, I don't think what Hugh wants to do on offense really relies around a running back of Jarquez's ability. I don't think that he has to have someone, and maybe it's even a detriment sometimes because it gets in the mindset of the way you call a game that you have to feed over and over and over again. Because I think the offense is based off of decision making. So you got some talent here. I think Jeremiah Cobb has a lot of ability to be a very explosive guy. You got Damari Austin. You bring in Darrell Robinson. So you got a good trio. You have a really good trio of backs. I just don't know that you have anybody that can be that Jarquez guy. So I would say you probably take a little bit step back, but I don't know that running back is going to be a huge necessity. Let's just say necessity this year. I don't know that you're going to have just a, you know, that 20 carry a game, 15 to 20 to carry a game guy that you can just, when things aren't working well, you can just turn around and hand it off. I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case this year. Offensive line, you got to feel like it's a massive upgrade. You got to feel like, again, I understand you got to perform and it's got to become realized, but you got to feel like it's a huge upgrade on the offensive line. And one of the upgrades to me is the biggest surprise that you weren't even expecting. And that is, if he chooses to come back, that's the ability to have add Azabian Miller back to this offensive line room. You add Xavier Chaplin, you add Mason Murphy, you bring back Dylan Wade, you bring back Jeremiah Wright. You just have options. You have options, and you go from the disappointment or the situational just not working out, the situation not working out with Percy Lewis, to you feel like a little bit more proven commodity with Xavier Chaplin, and hopefully everything we talked about last year can actually happen this year. Xavier Chaplin maybe offers us the ability to do what we wanted to do last year with Dylan Wade moving inside, with not having to rely on Dylan to slide out and tackle and save us, just put a Band-Aid on an offensive line. And you have some pretty quality depth that have had reps, with Braden Joyner and guys like that. So you feel like it's a huge step forward on the offensive line. You feel like the offensive line, oddly enough, could be one of the more talented groups on the team. And that's coming from where it's been to now, what a huge turnaround that room could be should it work out the way we hope it works out with these new additions. I think you take a massive jump on the offensive line, which in turn is probably going to make everybody just a little bit better. So most excited definitely about the turnaround of that offensive line. We're going to switch gears and go to defense, but obviously before we do that, we want to give a shout out to our boy Forge Stokes with Active Wealth. Go to retirementresults.com/plan, get your custom portfolio analysis absolutely free, a $1,500 value. Look, I'm sure you have a 401k. I'm sure you got an IRA. I'm sure you may have a savings account. I'm sure you may have this or that, whatever. Doesn't matter. There's no harm whatsoever in having Forge Stokes dive in and just make sure that it's performing at its optimal level. Make sure you're not paying crazy fees and taking advantage of the products you need to be taking advantage of. You may not need what you have. You may need to be on another path. So Ford can do that for you by going to that website that I just recited, retirementresults.com/plan. Tell him War Eagle, tell him he sent you, make a great friend at the same time. It's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. Switching gears to defense, is Auburn better on defense? Let's just start inside out. Let's work with the interior. Auburn loses Jason Jones. You lose Isaiah Rakes. Both were very solid players at that nose tackle, that very, very important position for this particular defensive system that DJ Durkin likes to run. And you brought in Dallas Walker, who is, I think I have a lot of high hopes for. I think very highly of him. He was a Texas A&M commit, went to Western Kentucky. He had a lot of tackles for loss at that nose position, albeit at the level that he played at, but still very active interior defensive lineman. You got some work to do, though, I think. You got some work to do to finish that off because, again, from a stats perspective, Jason Jones and Isaiah Rakes probably didn't light it up from a tackle perspective, from a tackles for loss, sacks, all that good stuff, but that's not what they're really asked to do. Hold your gaps, eat up space, be disruptive, and I think those guys did a fairly good job. I mean, you look at how well our defense played, especially against the run, I think that's something that they did very well. And I don't know that you've 100%. I don't know that you're 100% there yet. You're going to have to be relying on a bunch of young guys that are unproven in Dallas Walker. So that's why I think interior may be a focus moving forward. You know, as far as the last couple of positions that you add from the portal, Phillip Bleedy was a really good player for Auburn. You lose him. Malik Blockton stepped up and became a starter at multiple points during the year last year. I think they expect him to have a big year. Obviously, you got Keldrick Falk. You bring back Amaris Williams. You got a bunch of young talent. I just think you probably – this is where you got to do the most work to build depth. So I would say as of now, you're probably maybe a smidge behind where you were last year, but you still got the ability to add a few guys to sort of get you back to at least status quo, which I'll take. I'll take that defensive line play from last year all day long. Now they got to get a little bit better on third down, and that'll bring us to the next one. And some of that's not necessarily them. Some of that's just based off of the way you scheme it or the way you play call it. You know, the philosophy of dropping back versus getting after. But go switch gears, go to the edge position. Losing J-Mac is going to be tough to replace. But if anybody can do it, based off what we saw at the end of the year, Kieron Crawford can do it. He can be just as effective, just as fast as J-Mac was last year. And then throw in, you know, the emergence of DeMarcus Riddick in the passing game and the contain game when you come to playing mobile quarterbacks. You got a lot of young talent. You know, Amaris, we talked about him on the inside, but I think he could possibly bump outside as well. Then you got Jamonta Waller. You got Jared Smith coming in who's getting rave reviews as a true freshman. I think you still want to probably add another guy, maybe not necessarily another bona fide starter, but a guy that's got a lot of promise that can get in there and get in the mix and, you know, maybe one of those hard evals, you know, where you find a little diamond in the rough, another Kieron Crawford. Maybe you find you another one of those. That guy hasn't really emerged yet of who that could be. But, yeah, I think – I'm going to have to say, because it's basically the same guys. It's basically the same guys, but you lose your best guy. So and Kieron Crawford was a part of that last year. So you don't really gain a ton unless Jamonta Waller takes a huge step forward or Amaris Williams takes a huge step forward or some of these young guys take a huge step forward. You don't really gain a ton. So until you add someone else, I feel like you're taking just a slight step back at the edge position, but who knows? Kieron Crawford could take such a huge leap that it may erase all of that, and he just becomes, you know, a force. He has the ability to do that, especially with his athletic gifts. Linebacker is probably the biggest question mark to me on the whole team. You lose three seniors, and you're not bringing in one yet that has a lot of experience. You brought in Xavier Atkins, who – again, another young – this room is super young and super talented, but again, you have no experience whatsoever in that room. It's very, very little, very, very little snaps, very, very little reps. So you're going off sheer potential I still think Auburn needs to find an older guy, a junior or a senior that's got a lot, another Dorian Mausi. I keep saying that over and over again, but they've got to find somebody like that. Otherwise, you're really rolling the dice on great talent, a lot of talent. And this is the way you had to do it in the old days. You know, if you got in a situation like this with the roster, you just had to roll with what you have. And if that were the case, you feel good because you got a lot of young talent. But it's not that way anymore. Now you have the opportunity, you have the ability to go out and find one or two pieces that can help kind of complete a roster or fill a hole. So will Auburn do that? I think they will. But as of right now, I would have to say Auburn is just a little bit behind on linebacker from where they were last year. But again, that's only based off of experience. I mean, who knows? DJ Barber could be an All-American next year. Xavier Atkins could be an all SEC guy. DeMarcus Riddick could be a first team all SEC guy. That's the young guys that don't have a ton of experience, but they're like mega talented, even than the seniors that left this past year. You just got to go, you got to see it on the field. And I'm not ready to just anoint anybody. I'm not going to just completely bug out and lose my mind. I'm going to try to be a little bit rational here and understand that you still need to see it. Corners, you should have the two best starters maybe in the conference or up there as far as some of the best corners in the conference with Jay Crawford and Kay and Lee. And behind that, you're going to have Champ Anthony, who should hopefully be back at 100%. You bring in Ryan Schrader, who's a really good corner from Miami of Ohio. You got a bunch of young guys, again, that have a ton of talent, but you have the two top-end guys that are just elite. Elite. Extremely excited about that corner room. I say you take a step up big time. I think you take a big step up because you got your guys that are elite, just 1 year better, 1 year stronger, 1 year faster. Jay Crawford could become a household name if he already wasn't this year. I think he could for sure. Safety, I think, is the most talented group on the team. Most talented room on the whole team. You got Caleb Harris, Sylvester Smith, those guys coming back. You add in Anquan Fagans, Eric Winters, who I think it's just going to be impossible for that kid not to be on the field. He's just really, really good. I think you take a big step up at safety as well, because it's guys that were here last year, very effective, and they're going to be back again next year. And you add in Tay Seymour from Georgia Tech, who's got a lot of experience. I think safety's probably the most talented. Safety and wide receiver may be the most talented groups on the whole team. Offensive line, I guess it's hard to argue offensive line too, but maybe those three are probably your best position groups on the team. Let's go to special teams. That's what everybody is mostly worried about. You saw Auburn have special teams woes last year. Kicker. You're bringing in a kicker from Southern Miss to compete with Towns Magoo. I think the thought is still that it's going to be really tough for Alex to this whole situation that he's going through. I don't think there's a lot of expectation on him being a factor moving forward, and if he is, it's just a bonus. So you're going to have Ian Vachon, the walk-on, Towns Magoo, and Connor Gibbs from Southern Miss all competing in spring. We'll see how that plays out. I'm still not giving up on Towns. I still think Towns can be a really good kicker. I think he was put in a weird spot last year. And if you remember against Oklahoma, they did the whole fire drill thing where he had to, or maybe it was Arkansas, or we had to run in and kick a field goal and with a little time on the play clock, and he pulled it, but it was a false start. So you got to redo it, but then you're thinking, okay, well, I just missed that one. Now I'm overthinking it. Now I miss another one. And then, you know, now I'm just in this whole cycle of just overthinking things or not being confident. And that just comes from being a freshman. He's mega talented, like has a huge leg. I'm not giving up on him yet, but you do at least add some dudes to the room to compete there. And then obviously, with punter, you bring in Hudson Cock and John Allen McGuire. Hudson Cock is a transfer from Oklahoma State. And John Allen McGuire is, I think, one of the top two or three punters in the country from Thompson. So you don't have to rely on him to be the guy, but you know he's a mega talented punter. And Oscar, to me, I couldn't figure. I don't feel like he had a very good year, as far as from expectations go. I don't think he had a very good year. So I think you could take a big step up at punter with just a little bit better production there. So overall, I think Auburn's moving in the right direction. I think you're getting closer to where you need to be, to the point where I honestly look at this roster and I can't really point a finger at a spot where it's like, well, this is something that is just going to be a weakness that they're going to have to work around, and it could affect X, Y, and Z. To me, if you can't make it work with what you got here, you probably can't make it work. That comes from a guy who's as mega positive as you possibly can be. Love what the staff is doing. Love the direction that they've got this roster moving. But if you can't make it work with this roster right now, I just don't think you can make it work. So I'm sure we're going to talk about that 1,000 more times over the next year. But I think Auburn's moving in the right direction. They've done a lot of good things. There's a few things they got to shore up, and I think that'll happen here very soon as the dead period closes tomorrow, or opens back up, however you want to say it, and kids can get back on campus for visits. So we'll see how Auburn finishes this thing out. But so far, I like what I see. I think we're moving in the right direction. So, guys, I really appreciate it. We'll be back again tomorrow. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5, and you'll catch me back here every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.